Good to see everybody this morning. I just want to tell you that I know a lot of you, you come in on Sunday mornings and maybe you go to a life group that doesn't have any young people in it, from the young adult class all the way down to the little ones. Guys, they're a huge blessing. And they are a blessing to us as a body of Christ, but they're a blessing to the world they live in. And the battle that they have to face every day, I could spend hours telling you, because God has allowed Kathy and I the opportunity from the 20-somethings all the way down to grade schoolers to spend time with them every week, because Miss Terry has allowed me to teach the boys class along with Mr. Tim every Wednesday afternoon at the treehouse at the Georgetown office. And by the way, if you don't know about that, every Wednesday afternoon, first through fifth grade, welcome at the Georgetown office from about 3:30 to 5. We have snack time, worship time, game time, and a craft time, which is comical if you know me and my craft ability. Zero. That's why I have Mr. Tim over there. And then we have a lesson. So we don't plug that enough, Terry. We need to plug that more here. That we need to plug that treehouse, because Miss Terry is leading that, and God is blessing that. God is blessing that. So that's Wednesday afternoon, every Wednesday afternoon at Georgetown. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for the gifts of the Spirit. Father, we thank you for your body of Christ. And Lord, this morning, the few brief moments that we spend gathered in this room, Father, your Holy Spirit is here, moving and speaking. Lord, may we honor you by listening. May we honor you by responding according to your perfect will in our lives. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you've been with us over the last few weeks, maybe the last few months even, Dusty walked us through a whole sermon series of listening to God and hearing God's voice, and in the different ways through the written word, through his Bible, through the body of Christ, and hearing him in prayer. And Dusty walked us through that for the last few weeks. And I know that God spoke to you if you were listening. And this morning, I want to narrow it down to something very specific for us. And that is a verse that all of you have heard numerous times. You probably have it somewhere in your house on some plaque or some little notepad or something. And it's Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. And it says simply this: trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. It summarizes so many simple points, doesn't it? But this morning, as we talk about that verse, it has got to be where you are in your life. You've got to meet God and what He is doing, and embrace that so you can understand how He's asking you to trust Him. John, go ahead and put that quote up. Today's title of your message is, God Can Be Trusted. And probably most of you have heard of it, Dwight L. Moody, or D.L. Moody, because he said this one time: trust in yourself and you're doomed to disappointment. Trust in your friends and they will die and leave you. Trust in money and you may have it taken from you. Trust in your reputation and some slanderous tongue may blast it. But trust in God, and you'll never be confounded in time or eternity. Because today, as we look at this verse, there's a lot of confusion in our world. There's a lot of chaos. And God is a God of order. He's a God of discipline. He's a just God, a righteous God. But He is not a God who wants to see you confused. And that right there should bring some of you a lot of peace today. Because there's a lot of you that probably in a lot of different ways, there's confusion, there's chaos. You're still trying to probably figure out, what in the world does God want me to do in life? And you're thinking, and I'm already reached this age. I want you to know that I tell my younger group all the time that we say things on Sunday morning or in life group or church-anese talk, Christianese talk about God has a plan for your life. You should say amen, that's true. But did you know that God has a plan for your life that involves today? There's a plan for today. The plan does not start in eternity. It started way back when, but it includes today. So do you trust Him enough with that? I don't know. John, go to our first point. God can be trusted. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. First thing I share with you this morning is we need to take God at His word. Do you say that you know that He takes care of you, but you struggle with believing with that? It's a real possibility. You can take God at His word. Do you believe that God loves you, but then you struggle with wondering if you're lovable? You can take God at His word. He really does love you. I want you to see something about that word trust this morning. That word trust in Hebrew means you put your entire weight upon that. So what God is saying, what Solomon is saying through that verse when he says the word trust is put your entire weight, your entire being, your entire existence in the Lord. Not upon Him, but in Him, being Lord of your life. It's not always easy, is it? We make a few mistakes along the way. God knows that. But He is saying, put your weight on me. Lean into me. Because you can take Him at His word. To trust Him, though, is to know Him. We live in a world today that sure does know a lot about God. But we're talking about some type of intimacy. Some type of willingness to trust Him to the point that no matter what you're hearing back from Him, you're willing to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I saw a story this week about a gentleman that was working on a high-rise tower in Chicago. By the way, Kat and I love Chicago. I just want to throw that out for some crazy reason. God ever tells you, you know, you come up to us, you say, hey, I'm going to Chicago. I need somebody extra to go with me. You want to go with me? I'm in. Unless it's January or February, I ain't in. That's right. You're going soon, aren't you? Tomorrow? Kathy, I'll be out of town next week. But this is a true story. True story about Tommy going too. That gentleman was working on a high tower, and he had his safety belt attached as he was supposed to, because he was working very way up in the air in one of the downtown high-rises of Chicago. But he decided he needed to reach over for something. So he decided he would undo his safety harness. Well, about that time, he reached over and he accidentally hit a pole. And that pole swung around and hit his scaffolding, and he fell 110 feet. But God has a sense of humor. He landed in a pile of dirt face down. Other than bruised ribs, he was fine. But he said to the paramedics as they were putting him on the gurney to put him in the ambulance, he said, hey, be careful, don't drop me. That's a true story. That's a true story. Point being is we take God at His word that even when we mess it up, we can turn to Him to say, hey, God, don't drop me. Keep me from being stupid at times. Keep me from being arrogantly bold. You see, taking God at His word means we have to humble ourselves as we put our weight into Him. I want you to realize that at any moment, life can throw us a curveball, can't it? There are things, man, we can plan for over and over and over, and sometimes we just wake up and things didn't go according to plan. Now, the thing is, it's not always bad, by the way. Don't always assume that means there's something negative in your life. That God may bless you with extra energy, extra time, extra resources. But are you willing to trust in Him enough to use those? See, it's not always, well, I got a bad report from the doctor. I got to trust in Him. How about you found some extra money in the checkbook this month you didn't know was going to be there? Are you willing to trust Him with that? Are you willing to trust Him that phone call that you think is an inconvenience is really a blessing from God? See, that's why I'm trying to be practical with you today, is that when you trust Him, I'm not talking about you trusting next week. I'm talking about you got to trust Him right now, right here where you are. Because you're going to run right past Him. And then you're going to turn around and go, well, why didn't God speak to me? And God said, because I've been speaking to you day in and day out, and you think I'm going to speak to you something about in the future, when all I want to tell you today is, man, I sure do love you, Brian. I sure do love you. You're awesome. I just need to tell you that. Because tomorrow, the world's going to tell you, you're not worth loving. And if you don't hear me loving you today, then how are you going to hear the world telling you tomorrow you don't love them or that you're not lovable? One of the things I try to tell Tim and I, our little group of 10 little grade school boys every Wednesday afternoon is simply this. Hey, God made you and you really are special and He really does love you. So when you go home in a little bit, I don't know what your life is like there for the most of you, but when someone tells you that you're terrible and you're awful and you wish you were never around, that's lie, that's garbage, get rid of it. Here are the truths. And that you really can trust Him. One of the most difficult things to do in any single situation is this, though, guys, is we got to relinquish control. We got to relinquish control to the one who knows the whole picture to lead us and guide us. Can't go around trusting in God with tight, closed fists. We've got to go around with an openness to Him and His work in our lives. In other words, it's more important what you are than what you do. And what we are is much more important than where we are. The being over doing is the way we paraphrase that in a very simple phrase. Being over doing. God's more interested in you being all He created you to be than you trying to do enough to earn His love, because you already know you can't do that. And you know that. But how many times just in the last weeks, months, days, years, you felt like if I could just do one more thing, I'd feel God's love? When the only thing you really need to do is stop long enough to feel God's love. To trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your ways, but His ways. And all your ways acknowledge Him. Which brings me to point two. God is first and the only option. You and I have to draw a line in the sand sometime, don't we? And say, look, I'm only going to trust in You, God. I'll leave the outcome up to You. It may not go the way I want it to go, but I got enough trust, enough belief in You that Your sovereignty and Your plan is going to take care of me no matter what. No matter what. The word acknowledge there means something kind of interesting, though. And I want to point this out to you. Oh, John, I didn't put the scripture up there. Ah, silly me. The word acknowledge in that scripture, the Proverbs 3, it means to see Him. To actually look for Him. How much effort do you put in to looking for God each day? That's a question you have to answer. But if we're going to truly acknowledge Him, then we're going to have to acknowledge that we need Him and that we're looking for His guidance. But I'm not talking about some kind of guidance that says, well, God, if You will just guide me to be that missionary at the North Pole so I can finally discover all those things I wanted to know about polar bears, I'm all in with You. I'm talking about the kind of guidance that says on a daily basis, God, if I wake up this morning and the person that I would rather not have a conversation with ever again, I'm willing to call them. I'm willing to talk with them. I'm willing to write them letters. God, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll even forgive them. That's the kind of guidance I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Everything. It's not, you know, something that's very difficult for me that I'm trying to get better and better at is this, is all the little things I do throughout the day asking God, God, are those of You? God, do You want me to do those in this order even? You know, God, You know that I need to maybe drop something off to somebody, but is today to that day? Is that the right order? It's so important to allow God to guide you throughout your life. Because always keep in mind the things that are of God in your life. How about your family? How's God using you to seek Him in your family? How about where you work? How is God using you to seek Him in where you work? How would your family change today? How would your workplace change today if you really allow God to guide you? If you really acknowledge Him, if you start to look for Him and say, God, I'm all into that. John, go ahead and put the next thing. I found this online. Someone wrote one time, all I ever need to know, I learned from Noah. Don't miss the boat. Remember that we are all in the same boat. Plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. Stay fit. When you're 600 years old, someone may ask you to do something really big. Boy, there's some temptation there I'm fighting, but I'm going to stay strong this morning. Don't listen to critics. Don't listen to critics. I wasn't thinking of you, David. Don't listen to critics. Just get on with the job that needs to be done. Build your future on high ground. Speed isn't everything. The snails are on the board with the cheetahs. They wrote that one for me. When you're stressed, hey, I didn't say it. Hey, all right, hold on. Hold on now. Hey, I'm going to trust in the Lord. When you're stressed, float a while. Why are you in such a hurry to fix everything? Remember, the ark was built by amateurs, the Titanic by professionals. No matter what the storm, when you are with God, there's always a rainbow waiting. But do you live your life like that? No, I mean consistently. I don't mean there's bumps in the roads. I don't mean there's imperfections. I don't mean when you have a bad day. I'm talking about honestly, truthfully, as you evaluate your life this morning, do you live your life where you're consistently saying, yes, I'm seeking the Lord and I want to acknowledge His ways, that I'm willing to do and say and be all He wants me to say, do, and be this morning, today? Because all of us have a great story. Noah, other than living all those years, you know, guys, I think we could probably make a list of the things we've learned by walking with God, can we? You have great experiences with God. Celebrate them. celebrate them. God is first and the only option, though. Because here's a fact that most of us struggle with saying we trust God, but we always have another plan. We got to have plan B, C, and D just in case He doesn't quite come through for us. When the fact is that proverb says, trust in the Lord. Did you see any other option in that verse? Did Solomon say, trust in the Lord, and if He doesn't come through, go to the internet and read all about all that stuff that the doctor said you've got back, you're waiting on test results, and go on the internet and read all the possibilities? Like none of you have ever done that? Okay? I tell people all the time when they tell me, I'm going to the doctor, I'm waiting for results, please don't go on the internet. Because you will have yourself diagnosed with diseases that man has never even seen before that are in the CDC that no human's ever had. Okay? But you know, guys, we really do so often live with options to the way we want to live instead of saying, I'm all in to the only option there really is. To the only option there really is. I read a true story. I think because I've been under Dusty's mentoring so long, I got to add a true story. All right? Okay, you guys should have gone with me a little bit more on that one, okay? But this is a true story. It's 100% true, Miss Jerry, 100% true. And that is, I read a story about a gentleman who was a retired Navy SEAL. And he was a SEAL for like 10, 15 years. And he wanted to know something. After he got out of being a SEAL, he started reading these stories about survivors, maybe people that had been abandoned in the ocean for days and weeks, or people that just had been left by themselves, but they made it. They lived, or particularly if they were in a group. Why did some people survive a concentration camp where others didn't? And so he decided he was going to take some time and effort and figure out, or try to figure out, why do some people make it under extremely adverse conditions while others don't? And he came up with something very, very simple. And that was this. When he was a Navy SEAL, all through his training, all they had to do to quit was simply go up and ring a bell, and they were free to go. Okay? But he couldn't understand why some people would do that, considering that's what they said they wanted to be their whole lives. And he said he found out something. The difference between survivors and non-survivors was boiled down to this one thing. The people who made it in life and the people who didn't, people who made it never had a door that said, they never allowed there to be an option in their life that they could walk through and say, I give up. You and I cannot have a door that says anything but the way of the truth, the life that God has promised us. It was that simple. God wasn't a believer. That's one of the reasons why I love those kind of stories. He wasn't trying to be spiritual. He was trying to say, these individuals never ever gave in to the thought of, I can't make it. Yes, you can. And you can through all the things that we talk about in this body week in and week out, and you talk about in your life groups, that we love one another, we care about one another, we pray for one another, we hear from God for one another. Yes, we can. The world may be creeping in, the darkness may be creeping in, but the light will always be more powerful. God is the first and the only option. Point number three, John. Give it your all. Don't hold anything back. He created us with a free will, true. But God wants us to decide for Him. Now listen to me very carefully, okay? You can forget the rest of that stuff, okay? Probably won't forget Noah's list, though, all right? Give it your all. Now listen to me. Don't be deceived by American culture. Because here's what even the church culture in America has done. You know when Jesus said, I've come that they may have life and have it abundantly? We quote that a lot even here, okay? But I want you to know something. The church culture in America didn't hear that correctly. Here's what I think they heard. I have come that they may have the affluent life. That's not in the Bible. And the abundant life is from the inside out. From the inside out. Wouldn't you love to be able to wake up tomorrow morning and know that the workplace or a family situation or the money in the bank, all those seem to be negative, and you look at them and you laugh and you say, but I serve a God that's bigger than this right here. And I got a joy in me that will not be stolen because I'm all in. That I'm all in. Because you're going to trust in the Lord and you're going to lean not on your understanding but on Him. And all your ways you're going to acknowledge Him. And He didn't say, I'm going to make your paths easy. He said, I'll make your paths straight. Because if you believe He's going to make your paths easy, then what you did is you said Jesus wasn't telling the truth. Because He told us in the New Testament very bluntly, very to the point, hey, in this world, some days it's going to be tough. But it's time to put your big boy and your big girl pants on and get ready to follow me no matter what. The last part I added, okay? But He did say, I have come. And then in this world, it's going to be difficult at times. Yes, it's going to be difficult at times. But He said, I will guide you to the path. To the path. And He also reminded us of something else. Not everybody gets to find it. And I believe one of the reasons why not everyone gets to find that path is because we're too busy trying to find the path of least resistance instead of saying, I'm going to follow Him no matter how bumpy or how rough it gets or what it costs me. It may cost you some friends. It may cost you some finances. It's going to cost you time and energy. I guarantee you that. But you got to be all in. Give it your all. He works in ways we can't see. He really does. That's truth. That's not just something that sounds good here on Sunday morning. He really does work in ways that you and I can't see. But you have to say to yourself, I trust Him no matter what. And His paths are the right path. It's the only path to abundant life. Not the affluent life, but the abundant life. So this morning I got some challenges for you, John. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Will you fully surrender your life to the Lord today? Will you place your trust in God, in His love, and in His power and let Him begin to fully direct your life? I'm talking about the details. How about asking Him this afternoon, God, how do you want me to spend this afternoon? How do you want me to spend the time? Are you taking Him at His word? Are you acknowledging Him in every area of your life? Are you acknowledging Him with your time, your talent, your resources? Are you acknowledging Him that He has given those to you to be given back for His glory and His honor? Are you willing to acknowledge that? You know, it came to mind just hearing the young man, Will, his last name, Story. Startup. Last week as he was sharing about his little boy and just seeing there was a passion in his eyes that I want you to know that touched me. I don't remember a lot of the story, but I remember seeing a young man standing here next to Jason that said, I'm all into what God has. I've had some plans, but I decided God's plan really is the best. And you have to decide that every single day. You might do well for a while, get an accountability partner and make it every day. Because this is a lot more than just reading the Bible and praying. Okay? A lot more. There's got to be a depth to the intimacy. That's why I ask you those questions. And the question I would add is there any depth to your intimacy with God the Father? Is there real depth? I mean, is there days where you think you're sitting there by yourself and if He manifested Himself right there, you wouldn't even be surprised because you can just feel His presence so strongly? He desires to be that strong in your life. Not to strong-arm you, but to reassure you of all the truth. Because you're living for eternity. So it's time to warm up the band and get ready now for the way you're supposed to live from here forever and ever and ever. So you think about those questions. The altar will be open. Rick and Regina will be up here. Regina's probably going to come and repent of her sin, though. I don't know. Oh, it's just too easy. So I'm going to pray for us. You know you can pray there. And we do want to hear from you on those cards, okay? We'll be available for a prayer up here. Let's pray. Father, the things that you're stirring this morning. God, you're not just, maybe you're making us feel uncomfortable. Maybe you're challenging in us. I don't know. Maybe you're laying down some things that you desire for us to do. But Lord, you're asking us to be first. Lord, the great thing is you're never going to ask us to do anything without you. And Lord, what a blessing. So So Lord, in these next few moments, may we hear clearly from you and respond accordingly. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar is open. You don't want to bring them forward as you leave, so you can do that at this time as we continue to let God minister to us. Before I pray us out this morning, James wants to come up and share something with you.
Well, just trying to, I guess, do what Dane was saying this morning, but sometimes I struggle with asking for help. And another thing I struggle with is remembering to tell people thank you. But a couple weeks ago, we got up and Caleb was like, he said he wasn't hungry, which if Caleb says he's not hungry, then something's wrong. And so I made him what he asked for breakfast anyway, and he didn't eat anything. And I was like, well, try to eat a couple bites because I could tell he wasn't feeling well. So I went ahead and took him to school, you know, not really being surprised if I was going to get a phone call or not. And so usually on Monday mornings, I go and study with a couple people that I'm in class with because we always have a quiz Monday morning. And I hadn't really gotten the chance to sit down and got a phone call, recognized that it was from the school, and Caleb was in the nurse's office. He was getting sick. And so at that point, I needed to get a hold of my professor. I needed to get a hold of Stephanie. And I needed to make a lot of decisions real fast or whatever. And like I said, I kind of struggle asking for help. And, you know, this kind of path Steffi and I have been on trying to go to school and everything, it would have been impossible without God's people. And so I called Steffi and I was like, I don't know, what are we supposed to do? Are you supposed to take off work? Because we can't really afford for her to miss work and everything. And I was like, I don't want to call Dane again, because if I was Dane, I would be like sick. Every time he probably looks at his phone and sees a text or a call from us, he's probably like, oh God, what's going on today? You know, what fire do I need to help put out? So I can't remember if I texted him or called him. I think I called him and didn't get him. And he called me back. And the message was, he's like, I can't help you out, but let me call my parents and see if they can come help you. So I'm driving from Armstrong to Georgetown to home. And I get there and get Caleb kind of set up with we have kind of a routine we do for sick kids. And Pat and Joe come, and Stephanie called me, and I said, is everything okay, as I'm walking into class? And she's like, yeah, when I got there, Joe was sitting in the driveway. He said he was having to let things air out a little bit because Caleb had gotten sick. You know, I think him and Pat had just had to take a break from P90X or something to come over and help out. I got to go to class, and I didn't expect to go to class. Well, those quizzes count for 1% of your grade. If you've ever gone to college, you know that 1% can be a big deal. If you get a 74.9 in nursing, you fail the class. They don't round up. So anyway, I get to take this quiz. Well, thankfully, somehow I was able to do well. I got extra credit on the quiz, so I'm real jazzed about that or whatever. Well, the professor comes up to me, and there's 76 of us in the class, and she's like, I'm glad you're able to make it. There was something I wanted you to do today specifically. And I was like, okay, that's a little odd. And she, we had some extra credit assignment for autism, and I sent her a video of, I think his name is Patrick Duffy. I don't know, Duffy. He's the blind kid that sings. He's a musical savant. He has perfect pitch. And I had sent her a video of this kid. Well, she asked me to read his story to the entire class, and then we kind of talked about how life is worth living, no matter what you may think, because this kid's blind. He was born to a mother that was on hydrocodone and cocaine. So God had this whole plan, and if any of you have ever driven from Target to Georgetown in the morning, I did that 4 times in like 25 minutes. And I thought it was because I needed to make it for that quiz, but it was so I could share that. But the other part of what I told you was that I have trouble telling thank you, and I never tell the Morse thank you, but we couldn't have done what we have done these past 2 years without him. I wouldn't have had the chance to help take care of Ryan when he was in the hospital without Dane always saying yes, or Cameron, or Pat and Joe, or Katie. I was telling Katie the other day, I was like, man, the first few times I met Dane, I thought he was a jerk. But what I didn't know is he's actually kind of shy and, you know, isn't really a jerk. But either way, I wanted to tell you thank you, because a lot of times I forget. And God uses it.
Oh, man, you're welcome. Hey, yes. Hey, I'll conclude the story by thank you. I did not know until 2 weeks ago. I pick them up on Wednesday and take them. I didn't know 2 weeks ago. Bailey and Stuart and Caleb have been holding out on me. They got fudge rounds. And if you don't know what fudge rounds are, I just want you to know you're missing what the angels eat, okay? Because I've eaten them my whole life. So we come through that door every Wednesday afternoon, and Stuart starts throwing me a fudge round, all right? So you're welcome. It's a blessing to be in the body of Christ. And let me tell you, you know as well as I do, there are millions that need it. Millions, maybe even billions. So let me pray for us. Father God, we do bless you today for the body you've placed us in. God, we honor you through that body. Lord, I would pray today that we'd honor you in just a multitude of ways. Lord, when we look at the people that will just pass by this afternoon or this week, may we pause for a moment and realize you created them and that you love them. And Lord, just like Courtney reminded us of this morning, you sent your son to die for them just like you did us. So Lord, we bless you, we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.